is good. I said God is good. He's good. I'm glad we know that we're on the winning side. Praise God. It's wonderful to have our guests with us. I hope it's all right if I just welcome them in a special way. And there's a young lady that I've been wanting to meet for months and months and months. And Lisa's here, and it's so awesome to have her. Her son is involved, I think still, isn't he, with our church out in Chesapeake, pastored by a young man named Jack Cunningham. I was going to tease about, you know, a guy that can't hardly preach his way out of a paper bag. He's actually one of the greatest preachers in the world. Praise God. And we tease him, but we love Brother Cunningham, Sister Cunningham, some of the great, great people in Pentecost. And matter of fact, we spent some time with them just several weeks ago, and they were so good to us. Actually, they tried to pick up our motel room bill. They totally had it on their account. We snuck up to the desk and moved it over onto our card. Praise God. And so we have all these little things that we do interacting with our great friends. But Lisa, thank you for being here. And also these others, friends and new people, God bless you. I'm going to have to tone down just a little bit because I get so excited. In the name of the Lord, why don't we stand and in the name of the Lord, open up his word in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hope you have your Bible. When you pick it up and open it up, you give hell headaches. You give hell migraines. If all the neglected Bibles in the world were dusted off simultaneously, the world would go into a record dust storm. And the sun would be eclipsed for a week if all the neglected Bibles were dusted off at the same time. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This guy was a really outstanding young man, and Paul felt very close to him, called him my son in the gospel. Sometimes I refer to Tim Pitts, and I'll say, hey, Tim, my son in the gospel. Praise God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Somebody say, flee. And follow. Somebody shout, follow. Follow. After righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's quite a bit to follow after, isn't it? Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You could take that last fancy phrase and just say, your faith has entered into your speech. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed. You know, when you profess something, you're using your mouth to claim or speak something. You have professed a good profession. We could even say you have confessed a good confession, in the sense of using our speech faculties to tap into the things that God has for us. Okay, now, I love these verses. The Word of God is always talking to me. It seems like I'm always seeing something a little differently. And today, these three words stand out to me. The word flee in verse 11, to run after, you know, to flee or to run away from. Follow, to run after, okay? Flee, follow, and then the word fight in verse 12. Flee, follow, and fight. I'm tempted to call that a fight plan. Oh, you've heard of flight plans? Okay. I'm tempted to call this God's fight plan, but we'll just call it flee, follow, and fight. All right, let's ask the Lord. We're going to ask our prayer director, first lady of Faith Worship Center, my beautiful sweetheart, to pray over us that God would speak to us.
Lord, thank you that we can sit here in an air-conditioned sanctuary and hear the word of God in comfort. I pray you'd anoint our pastor, quicken him with your words for our hearts and our lives. Show us your direction and your way. Our ears are open in Jesus' name.
Now, would you worship the Lord a little bit with us right now and give him the praise he's so worthy of. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift you up. Lord God, we thank you today. Lord, be magnified in this house. Be magnified in this house. Let your name be exalted. Let your promises be lifted high. In Jesus' name. And now would you clap to the Lord? It's like a praise offering. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. My wife was T.F. Tenney's secretary for 3 years. Tom Fred Tenney is on that same level with Brother Cunningham and others. Just an amazing preacher. T.F. Tenney, I used to nickname him TNT Tenney because he was so full of dynamite. He was our youth president for many years. Years later, he became our foreign missions. And, of course, now it's called Global Missions. Director for also a number of years. I remember him saying this years ago when we were in some special meetings, and I believe it was at General Conference. He said, "What is it about the word go that you don't understand?" Referring to the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He said, "What is it about the word go that you don't understand?" That commission is to me and to you, to all of us, isn't it? Go into all the world. Get after it. Get up and keep moving. Praise God. So I would like to take his comment and substitute a word. And I would like to say or ask of you, what is it about the word fight that we don't understand? Look at this in verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Some things are conquered just by running from them. There's some stuff that we should just run from. Not situations that we should confront or problems we should work out. But they're just some places I don't want to be. I don't want to be standing in an adult bookstore and be praying against the spirit of lust. I think it'd be better for me to just kind of find a new venue, you know. I need to run from some places. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we tempt ourselves. So he wants me to run from sin. Joseph ran out of his coat. He was always losing his coat. He ran to get away from a woman who had some designs on his life that he would not accept. He ran out of his coat. There are some times when it's just time to run. Praise God. Just get out of there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I appreciate that. God wants us to leave out. Just get away from stuff that tempts us. You know, if the internet is a temptation to you, run from it. Put it on hold. Put yourself under discipline. Buy some special software that'll set up boundaries. Put up some firewalls. Run from temptation. Run from evil. Leave it. Get out of there. Just get moving into the presence and victory of God. And don't let the enemy tempt you by location or venue. And then he said, follow. So I need to run from some things. But I need to run after other things. He said to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I am running. I've heard Sister Mangan say this. I am running after you, God. Is there anybody here that has a hunger for more of God? I'm going to tell you, I can lift both my hands. I am so thankful for what he's done in me. The heart transplant that he gave me. And all of the beautiful anointings and unctions that through the years he's let operate in my heart and the answers to prayer. Could we talk about answers to prayer? Last night we were having our prayer meeting and we were praying for Joy's blood sugar to come down. Sister Joy over here at Doctors West, and she's just like her name. She is joyful and joyous and a wonderful lady, and she loves working that welcome ministry. Amen. But as we were talking about that and praying for her, I remembered a few weeks ago when we were praying for you, Sister Peggy, and you were at the hospital and they couldn't get your blood sugar down. The doctors just couldn't do it. So you know what we did? We took Mark 11, 22 through 24. You know, speak unto the mountain, whatever you say unto the mountain. And we just started speaking to her blood sugar. Bring it down, Lord. In Jesus' name, bring it down. The doctors can't do it. And literally within minutes, we got a text. I think it was a text, maybe a phone call and a text, something like that from Peggy. The blood sugar's coming down. Oh, praise God. Listen, we're in a house full of miracles. God is a miracle worker. He loves to answer prayer. How many of you know that God loves to answer prayer? Thank you, Lord. There's a gentleman, he's probably in my old church up in Wisconsin. As I speak, he's probably there in service with them. But years ago, he was a missionary in Africa. And he was praying with this group of people. And this little guy that had been born without legs, and he had to drag himself everywhere. And he drug himself into this bunch of people that were worshiping the Lord. And this missionary began to plead the blood of Jesus over the crowd. Now, you know how the devil spells blood, B-L-O-O-D. Oh, I'm in trouble, D-B-L-O-O-D. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Not just the blood, but what you have to say about what the blood does. See, I'm washed in the blood. You're washed in the blood. We're covered in the blood. There are benefits. There are blessings that God wants to pour out on us if we will fight for them. So, while he's pleading the blood of Jesus over this crowd, you know, the blessing of God and the blood of Jesus over them, they bring this little boy, I think he was 12 years old. Only he's standing there with two new legs, two brand new feet, and 10 toes. Because while my dear friend was pleading the blood and the benefits of the blood, you know what we do? We don't just sit down, you know, on the promises. We're supposed to stand up on them and fight for them and contend for them. What is it about fight that we don't understand? We understand flee. We understand follow. But what is it about fight? Do you know there are things that God wants to do for us? There are promises that God wants to fulfill, but they won't blow down on us like cherries falling out upon us in the ripe season just because the wind blows. They happen because we take a promise and we stand upon it and we fight the good fight of faith until we see the hand of God manifested in that situation. Would you lift your hand with me? Woo! Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Hallelujah. True story. How do you do this? Well, you know, if Napa has a parts house, maybe God has a parts house. God just reached over into his parts house, and while this man was pleading the benefits of the blood, ladies and gentlemen, there are many benefits to the blood. You are forgiven. You are cleansed, or you can be cleansed today. The blood of Jesus still washes whiter than snow, but there are blessings and healings and deliverances that we could walk in if we were willing to go to war. Explain this to me. How does a little boy who was born without legs stand before a group of people with a brand new set of legs and two new feet and 10 toes. God reached into his parts house and downloaded. Praise God. You know what? You can get a download in the Holy Ghost. Listen, there's if you want some joy, he promised joy to us. Praise God. Where his presence is, that's what the Bible says. That's where his joy is. Get in his presence. Some of us, it's been years, months, weeks, whatever, days since we've had, amen, a real life-transforming experience in the joy of the Lord. If you contend for that, if you come to God and remind him, your word says in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, that's my joy. That's my joy. I want that joy. What is it about fight that we don't understand? Okay, I'm going to give you an image of this. How many of you watched the video clip from the Cincinnati Zoo of the little tyke, little three-year-old boy, and a 400-pound silverback gorilla dragging him around? Lift your hand if you've seen that video. Right now, Cincinnati has the most famous zoo in the world. And I've been there a number of times. Hopefully, I'm going to get down there again this summer. Well, I'm watching this video, and I'm thinking, first of all, I didn't know, well, what? Where's the boy? I can't see the boy because the gorilla was hiding the boy behind him up against the wall. And he turns around in this video and then drags the boy through the water. And mom's yelling and screaming and, all the folks trying to figure out what to do. And I no more, listen, days later, I don't know when I was praying, when it was, I got a picture of this. This is what the enemy does to us. He's like a 400-pound gorilla, and he's dragging us around. I'm telling you, if you would call for help, you know, that little boy had some people that came to his rescue. Oh, praise God. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever felt like a 400-pound gorilla was dragging you around and beating the living daylights out of you? I want to tell you something. You can put him on the run. If you call on the name of Jesus, somebody with a capital S will come to your rescue. You can call on the name of the Lord, and he can deliver you. Oh, let's magnify him right now. Woo, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, God. Somewhere in us, we have to understand that when the Holy Ghost said to Paul, fight the good fight of faith, he meant it. He meant, you know, God is really cool. He always says what he means and means what he says. But what is it about fight that we don't understand? I've had some communications this week and different folks needing different things from God and not understanding that we don't just, you know, we don't just sit around and hope that these blessings will fall upon us. I have a book in my possession that Brother Cunningham gave me. Back in about 1982, something like that. Almost brought it today. I'm kind of wearing it out. But little did I know that when he gave me that book, that in this book was the story of a man named G.C. Bevington, who was a circuit preacher. But he was a believer in the power of God. And he literally practiced. This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of in Pentecost, we are losing our ability to claim the promises of God. I am frightened. It appears to me that if we're not careful, we don't understand that this is part of what it is to live for God. We can bring a promise to him. And we can claim it. We can step into it. And we can claim its blessing and its benefits and stand on it. This guy would crawl into a log, a hollow log, and pray for days. Now, I'm not recommending you do that. I'm not sure there are very many logs where I would fit. Maybe the giant sequoia, the redwoods in California. But what he did do was, he'd take the word of God and he'd get people to plead the promises. He would plead the promises over people. He'd get people to claim and plead the promises until something broke. What was he doing? He was teaching them to fight the good fight of faith. What is it about the concept of fight that we don't understand? We want all of those blessings with no battle. We want all of those healings with no fight. What is it about fight that we don't understand? When he said fight, it was not a suggestion. It was a command. So if your baby needs a healing, why don't you stay up all night long and quote some promises to God and remind him that he said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Did you hear that, Lord? And with his stripes, we are healed. We are losing the ability to claim the promises because we don't want to get in any fight. We're living in a culture like that. Anytime the word fight's used, usually it's referring to somebody who is out of order. I understand. I try to stay out of as many fights as I can. And I have all kinds of opportunities to, you know, in the world to step into situations, but I really try to stay out of every fight that I can and save up my strength for those times when I need to take a promise and just stand on it. Now, my wife mentioned the laziest man in the world. It's an old story that I used to tell. They were having this contest. We want to find the laziest man in the world. We are going to offer a huge reward, a check, for the laziest man in the world. We really want to find who this guy is. Well, this man won the contest way out in the tules, out in the sticks. And somebody from the company in a suit and tie was sent to bring that envelope and that check to him. And so we had to get directions because it was way out there. You know, go past the Red Barn, take a right, go down by the Big Apple Tree, take a look. You know, it's just crazy, you know, trying to find this guy where he lived. So he got to this guy's house. He wasn't in the house. He was out on the backyard laying on the ground, snoozing. And he had a hat over his face, you know, and the sun was shining down. And he sort of kind of like looked like he could win this contest. He's laying there. So this guy in this crisp suit and tie and this envelope came up to him. And he said something like, "Congratulations, sir. You have won the contest to find the laziest man in the world. It is my joy to present you with this check. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited." And he reaches down to give the man the check. And the guy just kind of nudges his hat a little bit up above his forehead, opens up just one eye, not two, just one eye, about half mast, and says, "Would you roll me over and put it in my left pocket, please?" Roll me over and put it in my left pocket. You know, that's, if we're not careful, that's how we approach the promises of God. Well, Lord, just send somebody out to bring it to me. And just have them roll me over. Maybe that's why God's been rolling you over, honey child. And your world's been turned upside down. He's trying to... That's not in my notes. He's trying to deliver you something from heaven. Oh, praise God. You need to get up and fight for what you want God to do. You need to get up and fight for your children. And fight for your grandchildren. And fight for that healing. And contend with the promises of God for that deliverance. Would you worship the Lord with me right now? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Shall be so. It shall be so. If we're not careful, we can become so lazy in the things of God if we're not careful. I remember we had a scary incident happen. We were evangelizing, and if I remember the details, we didn't have any credit cards. Now I don't know how we just use our faith. I had this big old black and white Suburban, 454 cubic inches. Anybody know anything about engines? Big old engine, gargled gas. But you could pull a house with it. And we're pulling this Holiday Rambler, and we're in Wisconsin, which became our district, our home district for a long time. And something gave way. Now, they called it a collapsed cylinder. Does that sound to some of you mechanics? A collapsed cylinder. I know a little bit about cylinders, and I don't know how they can collapse, but it was called in those days a collapsed cylinder. And this great big old engine, we knew it was going to cost a lot of money, like buco pacos, you know. And we have no credit cards. I even checked with my wife about this to make sure I want my stories to be very accurate. And she thought with me, and as far as I can remember, I said, "Well, if we'd had one, hon, we would have just put it on our credit card." They said, no, this was back, what, about 30 years ago? It was going to cost us hundreds of dollars. And we had a general estimate in those days. Now, today, 500 isn't much, but in those days, 500 was worth about 100 or 1,000 or 1,200 today, but then it was 500. You know, that's when you could buy a cup of coffee for a nickel. Man, do I ever more date myself? 10 cents, 15 cents, cup of coffee. Now it's $1.50, $2, right? Okay. So anyhow, in a restaurant. So we got a hold of some promises. We thought, man, we're up a creek without a paddle. Man, we need the help of the Lord. We this is our livelihood. We can't go anywhere with a 454 engine that's, and with this thing that's collapsed, the cylinder, and it's a mess, and we're kind of locked in here, and God, we need your help. And I remember, see, God sometimes allows us to be put in a situation where we just need God. See, Red Cross doesn't rescue us. Blue Cross doesn't rescue. But how about the old Rugged Cross? Sometimes God lets us experience pain or difficulty or challenge so that we will step into his promises and know and learn how to use our faith. When he said, fight the good fight of faith, he didn't say, you know, if you feel good, if you think it's a nice thought, if you think it's a good idea, if it appeals to you and it comes across sweetified and sugarified and coated with all kinds of goodies and lots of sweetness, maybe sometime try that out. He didn't say it that way. He said, fight the good fight of faith. My question to you is, what is it about fight that we don't get? Because I see the devil like that 400-pound silverback gorilla dragging us around, dragging us through life, beating up on us, and we don't realize that if we call on one who's bigger than that gorilla, as a matter of fact, he manufactures gorillas, praise God. He's the maker thereof, and he can take care of the big guys, amen, with fuzz and fur and hide and hair and all. He can take care of them because he manufactures them. He knows how to solve the gorilla problem. Woo. So we're coming over to the church, and look at this. Here's brother Dinkins. A lot of folks that weren't made out of such stern stuff wouldn't be here. Here he is. Well, you say, I know Brother Dinkins. He's such a nice guy. He sure is. He's so sweet. That's right. He is. But he also used to play football. Oh. And I understand he really played it really, really, really good. What are you saying? I'm saying he's got a tough side too. A lot of lesser men would not be sitting here. But here he is. He has a little, maybe a huge mobility problem. But he didn't want to miss church. He didn't want to miss out on God in his presence and his word. I'm saying he's a fighter. Yes, he's got that outer, loving, wonderful heart and sweetness. But he's also a fighter. Here's Brother Chuck sitting right behind him in a fender bender this week. But devil, you didn't take me out of church. Hello? No 400-pound gorilla is going to take me out of church. I'm going to be in my home church on Sunday by the faith of God. Wow, we got some fighters among us. Wonderful God. So we're coming over. We're in Beloit there, Beloit, Wisconsin. He's the district secretary. Great man of God, Brother Caskey, district secretary. And we're literally walking the aisles. Now, in those days, you know, a $500 offering for a week was a lot of money. Most of us, even today, $500 sounds like a lot of money. I see some of you nodding. Thank you. Thank you for that witness. That's a financial witness. That's an economic. Amen. Okay. And I said, it's still a lot of money. In those days, it was even more. And we're walking the aisles. And this was our prayer. God, we claim. There it is. See, when's the last time you stood? See, that song does not say, sitting on the premises, I cannot fall. It doesn't say sitting on the premises. It talks about standing on the promises. We get the two mixed up. It's not sitting on the premises. It's standing on the promises. And we're walking the aisle. And this was our prayer. We realized, well, Lord, if you gave us a $500 offering, that would be a major breakthrough. That would be like awesome on steroids. That would be awesome. But God, when we pay the bill off for my Suburban, how about all the other bills we got, all the other needs that we have, no credit cards. I can't believe we were even out there without credit cards. I don't know how we did that. I have to study that and pray and talk to God about that. I'm not sure how we did that. I guess you just call it Jesus stuff, you know, living the Jesus way. And we're walking up and down the aisles and we're saying, Lord, we're claiming an offering of $500 plus. And see that word plus, everybody shout plus. We were fighting with the promises. See, plus kept it wide open. If we'd say, we're claiming $550, $50 to take care of the other little expenses, $500 for the big boy, for the big gorilla, praise God. You know, that would have been all right too. But God knew our hearts. Lord, we believe $500 plus. We need an offering. In those days, that was an incredible offering. I remember, I'll give you a comparison. I remember, Cameron, when I preached a whole week for $75. And a couple, three new shirts that they got at a discount house. But I'm so glad they gave them to me. I remember, Tim, preaching a revival where every night after service, they gave me one of those brown, they had these little brown envelopes. Brother Mahaney talked about how he fell in love with those little brown envelopes. They were about half the size of these. They were brown, and they'd bring me this envelope with all the pennies, all the quarters, all the dimes, all the nickels, maybe a dollar or two, who knows, if we were really on a bonus, a real riding a wave, you know what I mean? And give them to me. And that was our offering for the night. Now, guess what? I was in happy land. You say, oh, Brother Meadows, that's not, I was just happy to be there. I was happy for the open door. I was thankful for the open door. I was tickled pink that I was getting a little brown envelope. I'm thankful. You know, if you're thankful for what you have, God will bless you with more. If we're thankful, it's not just thanksgiving, it's thanks living. It's a style of gratitude. I was so thankful that, well, praise the Lord. Thank God for little brown envelopes chock full of change. I'll take it, Lord. Magnify it. I'll pay tithes on it. Glory to God. We got this Suburban waiting to be brought out of the pound. That week, walking up and down aisles, we were claiming the promises of God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Anybody ever use that one? Oh, praise God. My God shall supply all your needs. So when they gave us the check, and Brother Dink, is this what, I mean, you being our financial officer, you'd have a fine appreciation for this. And we opened it up. I said, baby, get the camera. Well, you know, we didn't have cell phones in those days. That really does date us, doesn't it? There was no internet. Amen. And I'm not sure there were even computers around that we knew about. Go get the camera. We're going to take a picture. We have a picture of this check. It was for $1,000. We had never received a check like that in all of our lives. But I know that it was a total coincidence because we had been claiming the blessing of God. Right? Wasn't a coincidence. God wants to bless us. Listen. He wants to bless us beyond what we've even dreamed or thought about. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Some of these scriptures were not in my notes for you guys. That's Ephesians 3 verse 20. He wants to bless us on the right hand and on the left. And the next week, we were claiming the blessings of God, Sister Rhonda, and went down the road and preached for another church and got the second largest offering we had ever received in our ministry the very next week. But I'm sure that that all was just, you know, a coincidence, right? When we claimed this blessing from God, we were in a desperate place. We were in a pickle, as they say in the grocery business. Not only did they bless us with this magnificent offering, people came up to our door, Sister Amber, and gave us things that week. I don't even know how to explain this. They gave us gave me a brand new leather briefcase. Do you remember when God moved upon the Egyptians and God put favor on the Israelites? And before they left, the Egyptians started giving to them silver and gold. They went out there and built the tabernacle with that. Praise God. God put grace and favor on them, and people responded to them differently. God can do that today. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I want to see some new carpet in this building to the glory of God. I want to see some new chairs, cushioned chairs in the sanctuary to the glory of God. He wants to bless us. He's waiting for somebody to get a hold of a promise from God and go to battle with it. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Morrell Cornwell is, to me, one of the greatest soul winners alive. He has a church that runs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, somewhere between 1,200 and 2,000. It's a powerful church. Morrell Cornwell is a soul winner. He said, when I came to this church, he said, somebody had said, Ichabod is written over that church. This is what he said. You know, we're so quick to kind of go on the, oh God, help me, Jesus. Lord, what did I get myself into? Please, Lord, come for me. Rescue me. Did I take a church that had a curse? He said there were people saying, Ichabod is written over that church. He said, whoever wrote that better have written it in chalk. They better have written it in chalk. He said, you know what? He said, the devil doesn't understand us wringing our hands. He doesn't understand the language of tears, but he does understand the language of authority. And if there's a curse on your life, you can reverse it. If there's a curse on your church, you can reverse it. Praise God. You've got something to say about it. Get up and take a promise and go to war with it. And believe God that he'll help you and bless you and touch your children and touch your families. In Jesus' name we pray. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, yes. As our musicians come, let's worship the Lord for a little while. For a few moments, praise God. You have something to say. You have something you can do. And we are challenged all over the scriptures to believe God. Here's a question for you. Can I ask a question? What is it about the word fight that we don't understand? I see the enemy like a gorilla dragging folks around. But if you'd call out to God, the manufacturer of gorillas, the manufacturer of victory, the manufacturer of joy, you call out to God in the name of Jesus, and he can conquer your giants. You know, they could have hit him with a dart, you know, and they had to make a quick decision, and they made the right one, no doubt. But you think, well, why not do that? Save the gorilla. They said he still would have had several minutes. It would have, it could have very, you know, highly aggravated him. And in that state, he could have really hurt the little guy, little three-year-old. So they had to make a quick decision. This gorilla probably is worth, I have not seen his value in the articles, but thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Very rare species, I guess, of gorilla. And sometimes all we do with the enemy is we just stun him. We pray a little Peter Pan prayer and we get Peter Pan results and we're so shocked. We pray cap gun prayers and we want a dynamite answer. We pray cap gun prayers. We pray skim milk and expect cream. I challenge you. I want to put some pain on the enemy this week. He's messed with some of us, but there's a bunch of us that are here in church worshiping God. Hallelujah, praising the Lord. Not letting circumstances become your false god. Circumstances are not deity. He is the Lord, and there is none other. He is the Lord that sits on the circle of the earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen to this. Hey, not far from here, you guys. Not far, probably. What is Louisville? 2 hours? 3? There's a kid that was born there. Somebody stole his bike. Christy, that so upset him. He thought he'd go down to the boxing gym and learn how to box because somebody stole his bike. He thought, you know what? I'm going to ensure that people stop stealing stuff from me. I'm going to go learn how to box. And that he did. Now, I was just a teenager coming into the church. At that time, just been baptized in Jesus' name. Got the Holy Ghost. Spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. I was so lit, so on fire. Glory to God. And here is this lovable maniac who decided, you know what, I think I'll learn how to box. I'll learn how to fight. He amazed us all. He was a poet. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You can't hit what you can't see. He was a philosopher. He was a man that became an icon of his times. And 10 years later, at the age of 22, he beats Sonny Liston. I will never forget it. And then made fun of him while Liston lay on the canvas. It was a total upset. This boy who would run with the horses to get in shape. Louisville. Isn't that famous for something beside baseball bats? Two years later, he stands up to the so-called officials, has a problem and a protest against the Vietnam War and religious convictions about fighting in it, and they arrest him. They stripped him of his title. He was in the heyday of his career. He took a stand because he knew how to fight. Where is that? You know, they said when he died the other day, his heart, I mean, he was all his organs had shut down, but his heart kept beating. They said he was dead, but his heart kept beating. I wonder who is it among us could rise up and say, you care, I'm getting back in the ring. You know, I'm getting back in the ring. There's something in my heart that God has placed there. I'm going to hang in there. God's going to help me. God's going to visit my family. God's going to fill me in again, renew me in the Holy Ghost. Who is that one? He goes up against the Supreme Court. They overturn his conviction in 1971. Why? Because he was a fighter in every sense of the word. Thrilla in Manila. Rumble in the jungle. This amazing guy was at heart a fighter. And I am challenging you in the name of Jesus. You have promises like this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's Matthew 7:7. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalms 37:4. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. What is it about the word fight? It's not complicated. Get up, quit letting the enemy or life drag you around and kick you around and slap you around. You've got some blood that covers you. You've got a Holy Spirit and promise that fills you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Would you lift your hands and let's praise him today. Let's love on him today. God, I magnify you. I want to drop some things off at your altar. I want to lay some things at your feet. I want to believe you with all of my heart. I choose to believe you with all of my heart. Dear God, in Jesus' name, I wish that somebody could walk to this altar and just say in their hearts, or maybe even say it out loud, get out of my way, devil, I'm coming. I'm coming back into the arms of God. I'm going to be filled again. I'm going to be refreshed again. I'm going to come to this altar and God's going to put grace on me. God's going to put his mercies on me. God's going to put his peace on me. And I'm going to become, amen, that person that he wants me to be. Fight, fight the good fight of faith. Flee. Run away from some lusts and things. Follow after righteousness and godliness, faith and patience and meekness. But fight the good fight of faith. What is it about fight? I worship you. I worship you. Your grace on us. Lose your blessing on us, I pray.
Worthy of all our praise.
Right now in Jesus' name.
You overcame.
You are.
Jesus. Awesome and powerful.
I worship you.
Awesome.
Wants to bless you. He wants to bless you.
overcome.
He wants to bless you. Oh, he loves you. He loves you. Oh, we seek you today. We seek you today. Lord God, we seek you today. God, we're praying together, Lord. We're praying together. Let this be the beginning, Lord. Let this be the beginning of days. Let this be a new start, Lord. Let this be. Hallelujah. Wonderful God.
from the cave. Jesus, awesome and powerful.
Yes,
awesome and gracious.
Oh, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your promises. Helping us, Jesus' name, hallelujah. He's poured out some grace in this house. You know what? He loves you. He loves you on your worst day. His love doesn't falter. It's not staccato. He did not say, let your light so blink. He said, let it shine. If the one who commanded that, he'd have to be shining himself. He is called the light of the world. And he's not just blinking, you know, great one day and then he's gone the next. He shines down upon us. David said in the Holy Ghost, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yeah, he's my light, and he's shining. He's shining down on me. A little kid could learn how to box because somebody stole his bike and becomes one of the greatest athletes of all history because he learned how to fight. I want to challenge you with a question. What is it about the word fight that we don't understand? You have some promises. We have some promises. I feel like some people got some stuff. Got some groceries from heaven. Lift your hand and let's thank the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for meeting us here. Thank you, God, for promises.